Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. And I am indeed more than delighted to welcome our guest for this morning, though he has been very involved with the Cross Border Orchestra of Ireland. Very parochial there, Dr. Kieran Grant, you know, chiropractor here in New York. You know, you're from Dundalk.
That's correct. So born in County Armagh in Dizzy Hill in Uri, and lived in just outside Dundalk in the Castle Roach Hackballs Cross area, the birthplace of the Cross Border Orchestra.
So, and how long have you been involved with the Cross Border Orchestra, give or take?
Well, first of all, Adrian, thank you so much for having me. And we at the orchestra are very thrilled to be a part of irishradio.com. So again, thank you. At the Cross Border Orchestra, they were coming to the United States for the very first time to Carnegie Hall back in 2005. And so I jumped onto the committee as a volunteer. And so I've been volunteering with the organization since 2005 and then became one of the co-executive directors here in New York of the executive board in 2009.
You know, Kieran, you're... Indeed, you are a co-chair for the New York Executive Board here, but you have a huge, massive event coming up, which in fact I notice as it gets closer to St. Patrick's Day, Carnegie Hall, there will be those who say, oh God, we should have we should have gotten our tickets, we should have, because that happens every year. First of all, St. Patrick's Day in New York City, coupled, you know, with the iconic Carnegie Hall, you can't get much, you know, bigger than that, if at all.
It's, oh, absolutely.
It's huge. It's a huge event.
Absolutely.
And Carnegie Hall, second to none, you know.
That's for sure. So the orchestra are returning to Carnegie Hall on St. Patrick's Day at 7 p.m. on March 17th. This will be their fourth trip back to New York City, but their third performance on stage at Carnegie Hall. And so after having them march in the parade on Fifth Avenue, we drag them over to Carnegie Hall on Seventh Avenue, and they will perform at 7 p.m. on March 17th. And this concert, we're naming it Ancora. And Ancora is going to be performed by the orchestra to celebrate not only the 28 years of all their amazing accomplishments, but also the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement.
How appropriate to... first of all, I would like to acknowledge, and because she and you have been working on this, you know, for, well, since last year. Orla Maguire, who's, you know, from Clones, and, or is a Clonus, in County Monaghan. Now, she, obviously, she's fairly busy herself. She's a founder of the internationally acclaimed Lash Star Guilty in New York, and otherwise she would be with us today. She travels throughout the world.
Exactly, without a doubt. The thing is, Adrian, I'm incredibly fortunate, and I'm not sure, like, we would be able to accomplish what we do were it not for the amazing Orla Maguire. Orla is the founder and CEO of Last Star Beauty, and if she's not on QVC in Italy or the UK, she's traveling around the world with her brand, Last Star. And so Orla and I have been working together for 18 years on the Cross Border Orchestra, along with our great executive boards here in New York City. So we're very fortunate to have an amazing team for this pretty historic concert on March 17th at Carnegie Hall.
I've been around long enough to know about the cross-border orchestra of Ireland, the initial group, and remember that a lot of people here in particular were, you know, more than thrilled to hear about young musicians. And if we go back to 1995, to have musicians who choose to ignore, you know, the political upheaval that was taking place in Northern Ireland at that time, and became friends through music and through music and through their dedication to music. But can you take us back to St. Louis Convent in Dundalk, and to your founding director and CEO, Sharon Tracy Dunn, who we feel like we've known for even longer than that. What's the story?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, like I mentioned earlier, Sharon was an English and music teacher at Dunluce Convent in Dundalk, right on the just a couple of miles from the border of South Armagh. And so upon discovery of some instruments in the basement of the convent, like I said, she approached the administration and got a little bit of funding. I think back in the day, it was maybe 3,000 pounds or punts to get some of these instruments refurbished. And so the idea at that point then was to try and get some kids together from both north and south of the border to, you know, using music as this unifying factor to get these kids to perform with various instruments to form an orchestra.
Where did the stash of instruments come from in the first place?
The only thing that we know for sure is that there was a lot of damage to, I believe, it was in the range of 30 to 35 instruments that were located in the basement of the convent. They hadn't been used in quite some time. They were in pretty significant disrepair. And so the nuns had just, like, left them there. And I'm not even quite sure how Sharon came upon them. But as a music teacher, you know, she was heavily involved in various pantomime productions and church music scores, et cetera. And so at some point, she knew that this was the direction that she was going to go. And so she decided to get these instruments repaired and put them in the hands of kids, and then reached out to various other organizations in the area to try and bring kids together to have them perform together as part of this celebration of culture and diversity, and ultimately promote peace and unity and tolerance through music.
Dr. Kieran Grant, friends, is my guest, and I'd like to know whether the cross-border orchestra, when they arrive here for St. Patrick's Day, will they be already worn out from the massive tour that they have, you know, that they continue, you know, to perform in Ireland, where they are without a doubt, even for Ireland, and with their success, they have become a marvel. And you might tell us a bit about that program that they're undergoing at the moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked earlier, Adrian, about the orchestra from, like, the change that has occurred from 2005 right through to today. You know, back in the day, they were considered like a youth orchestra. Today, not only have they surpassed that youth orchestra title, but they're now regarded as a concert-level symphony orchestra. And what they have done, besides their performances in the past at the Royal Albert Hall in London, Boston Symphony Hall, Chicago Symphony Hall, and they've even represented Ireland at the Oriental Arts Center in Shanghai, this current tour from cities all over Ireland. They will have performed at 18 different concerts prior to the culminating event at Carnegie Hall on St. Patrick's Day on March 17th at 7 p.m. And so they have come a very long way from the original days back in 1995, from the basement in a convent in Ireland to the great stages of the world 28 years later.
Yeah, and of course we're extraordinarily proud of their, you know, being the spotlight for New York with the greatest and oldest parade, you know, in the world, bar none. What a great opportunity it is, you know, for you know, so many people who are going to be in the city anyway. And but I want to ask you about down to numbers. How many are in the orchestra, and can you give us just an overview of how much room would be left on the stage in Carnegie Hall?
That's for sure. Well, first of all, Adrian, I one of the things, I love the fact that you give a shout-out to the folks at the St. Patrick's Day Parade, because our friends at the St. Patrick's Day Parade and the Parade Foundation have been incredibly generous to us in allowing us march in the parade on St. Patrick's Day, coming all the way from Ireland. It's very exciting, not only for a lot of these kids, because, as I'm sure you know, many of them not only have never been on a plane before, but to arrive in one of the greatest cities in the world for the greatest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world, and then for us to be able to create the greatest after party of St. Patrick's Day, like of the St. Patrick's Irish season here in New York City.
Absolutely.
It's all very, very exciting. So, yes, to your point, there's 140 members in the orchestra, and they are ranging in age from 14 to 24 years old, some of whom have been in the orchestra for, you know, are relatively new within the last, like, year or so, to others who have been in it for a couple of years. And so I believe, and we would have to talk to Sharon to determine the actual number, but I believe there are only a couple of kids, maybe one or two, from the original performance back in 2005. They perhaps are one of the professional members that assist the orchestra. But
rumor is that they're refusing to leave. And
the great thing about the orchestra is, Adrian, you know, the orchestra has been a stepping stone for so many children, so many young people in Ireland. You know, in addition to having the experience of performing with the orchestra, we have students and former members who have gone on to have an extensive career, not only in just performance, but also teaching and various other careers as a result of their participation with the orchestra. And, you know, I think following the launch of the Peace Proms program, which the orchestra started as a means of introducing more kids, because on an annual basis, approximately 35,000 kids in elementary and middle schools all over the island of Ireland have an opportunity to perform not only as a choir with the orchestra, but perhaps pick up an instrument for the first time, because the orchestra has many different programs, one of which is called the Dynamic Strings. And, you know, the great thing about it's very close to my heart in the sense that it gives me goosebumps every time I watch one of the previews of the Dynamic Strings performances, because you see some of these kids who are challenged in some way, whether they have autism or on the spectrum, or perhaps they have Down syndrome, they are provided an instrument and have the opportunity to perform at one of these arena shows with a full symphony orchestra. So, you know, that was unheard of in Ireland years ago.
Absolutely.
And so thanks to the Cross Border Orchestra, they now have this opportunity to feel like their sibling or feel like other kids in the neighborhood, because they now have the ability to pick up an instrument, learn an instrument, perform as a choir with other kids. And so it's very exciting. You know, it's while we impact 140 kids by their participation in the orchestra, You know, yeah. The orchestra impacts tens of thousands of children by just participating. Like I said, just at the RDS shows that happened in Dublin this past weekend, there were almost 16,000 members of the audience. And, you know, I 16, believe 16,000,
yeah.
16,000, yeah. Almost 16,000. And orchestra choir kids exceeded 4,000. So that's a pretty nice weekend to have under your belt before you grace the stage at Carnegie Hall.
Now, only so I don't make any, or we don't make any local enemies on this side of it, which we don't need, neither of us. Tell us about the Fairfield County Children's Choir.
Sure. So, under the musical direction of Mr. John Noyes, the Fairfield County Children's Choir will perform with the Cross Border Orchestra. So we have about 100 or so, 110 members of Fairfield County Children's Choir that will perform as a choir with the orchestra on stage at Carnegie on March 17th. And, you know, these guys have performed with the orchestra many times, and in addition to their original performance with the orchestra back in 2005, they have actually since performed with the orchestra in Ireland as well. And they are a pretty acclaimed orchestra or acclaimed choir themselves, because they themselves just celebrated their 25th anniversary last May with a performance at Carnegie Hall. So they hail from a great Irish community in Fairfield County in Connecticut. And so they will participate with the orchestra as part of our St. Patrick's Day celebration.
And you also have, I'll probably mispronounce it, but you also have musicians from,
Zavarian?
Zavarian.
Yep. So we have, exactly. So Zavarian High School Pipe and Core Band from Brooklyn will also be joining us. And in addition to that, we will have some dancers, some Irish dancers and some Highland dancers. The Michelle Johnson School of Dance in Belfast. Some of those Highland dancers will be joining us. And then we also have dancers from the Denogla Academy here in New Jersey that will also grace the stage at Carnegie to perform with the Zavarian High School in addition to the Michelle Johnson School of Dance.
It's incredible to think that that number of performers, I mean, did you happen to mention to Carnegie Hall that they shouldn't be leaving any, you know, unnecessary, you know, stuff on stage. Yeah, clear it off there.
Exactly. Well, at this point, I think since it's our third performance at Carnegie Hall, I think they're getting used to us at this point and knowing to stay out of our way, because between the high kicks of our Michelle Johnson dancers and our Denogla Academy dancers, not to mention the fact that we need plenty of space for Conal Duffy, our world-class Ilan Piper. It's very exciting. So they're used to us at this point, and they know to give us plenty of space.
We also, and I would like you to, you know, give us a flavor. You know, cross-border, we kind of think maybe that's just the neighboring, areas of the border between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland, and for people like yourself who are indeed parochial by nature would say it's all around Dundalk. Cross border and the emphasis, this year in particular, you know, it's Celtic music rooted in both the Irish and Ulster Scots traditions. Normally, when we hear of those, we rather treat them as two separates, you know, like a football match. This is something that may be somewhat of a shock to those of us in our side of the Atlantic. truth of the matter is, this is not anything new at all. This has been, you know, this is rooted in the tradition to begin with.
That's exactly it. And, you know, while we were, you know, true to our name, a cross-border orchestra back in the days of our origins in 1995, that border we talk about now is the border from county to county, because we have representation from all 32 counties in the orchestra in 2023. So we're very fortunate that the makeup, the members of the orchestra, consists of representation from every single county in Ireland. So, you know, that border, like I say, is a county border and not just the original province border, as it were.
Yeah, it's a county border, you know, which used to be part of what used to be a border, which isn't there anymore, thank God. Let us, again, representing every county in Ireland, the success story, you know, of the cross county, you know, of the cross border orchestra is in itself such an amazing success story. And the fact that the prominence of their being in Carnegie Hall, being in New York, as lead up to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, the Belfast Good Friday Agreement, that is something, you know, that I'm sure will be of great, that will, you know, provide some great experience, historic significance for, you know, those who are coming over.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, like I mentioned at the top of the show, we have amazing support from all different communities, not only here in the United States, but also in Ireland as well. Like everybody from the Consulate General of Ireland to the Consulate General of the United Kingdom to our great friends at the Northern Ireland Bureau.
Yes.
And in just Northern Ireland, like they've just all been amazing supporters of who and what it is we're trying to accomplish with this amazing blend of symphonic Celtic music that's, like you mentioned, is rooted in both the Irish and Ulster Scots tradition. So it's going to be quite the party, Adrian.
Yeah. So what is the best way for those who may want to, okay, to move on this and quickly to get tickets?
Absolutely. So going directly to the Carnegie Hall box office, so that's www.carnegiehall.org, O-R-G.
Right.
You can access tickets that way, and the tickets range from $35 and all the way up to $150. So,
right.
You know, like in the two previous performances at Carnegie, it's sold out, so we definitely recommend people getting their tickets sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another website that only just handed me here. It's the Cross Border Orchestra of Ireland, CBOIN New York at Gmail. Is that a contact, or should one just concentrate on getting the tickets through Carnegie?
You can definitely, again, go directly to the Carnegie Hall box office. It's the best way to get the tickets. If somebody has some questions about, like, advertising in the program, or has some specific questions about the organization itself, my colleague Orla and I will gladly field any questions. And you can definitely reach us at cboinewyork@gmail.com.
Okay.
But that's definitely a good way to reach Orla and I. But otherwise, tickets, www.carnegiehall.com.
Box office is open daily, and that's another way to do it. Either way, friends, not only that, but if you go to the website, Carnegie Hall website, you will be able to see, you know, what tickets are available, where the seating is, and so forth. That's if you're smart enough and do it soon. I want to, before we move on Karen, I want to ask you about peace proms and the origin of that, and what is that? Because I know there are peaceproms.com where we can learn a lot too. What is the origin and historic value of peace proms?
Yes, so the Peace Proms program was started in 2007, and the whole idea behind Peace Proms was to incorporate the orchestra into an environment in Ireland where they could get more kids involved in music. And so, you know, like I mentioned, there's approximately 35,000 kids in Ireland that are now part of the annual performances by the orchestra in Ireland. And so Peace Proms was a way in which to get school children, elementary and middle school children in Ireland, to perform as choirs with the orchestra as part of their musical program in school. So it's done through school programs in Ireland, and then they get to perform in these massive arenas with the orchestra. Like we just talked about, the 4,000 children that performed with the orchestra at the RDS this past weekend. And so the type of music varies. They could be singing Lady Gaga or Taylor Swift or Coldplay this weekend, or they could be singing Macklemore or Amazing Grace the next weekend. So it covers a nice wide variety of music and incorporates just more children into the program, because it is a free resource. It is a choral education program. And the whole purpose is to ensure that it's fun and engaging for kids, all the while rewarding for the teachers to teach, and, you know, ultimately inspirational and thrilling both for the educators and for the kids themselves.
I want to thank you, first of all, and also let our listeners know that between now and St. Patrick's Day, we will be giving you a flavor indeed of the Cross Border Orchestra of Ireland, and for those who know or have heard you know, through the decades at this stage of the game, we've been operating off, I think, the same two or three CDs, and we were very happy with that. But for those who say, do you have anything newer than that? Yes, we do. And I want to thank you, Kieran, and of course Orla Maguire, for providing us with some fantastic up-to-date music, and particularly some of the music which was recorded as recently as you know, last week. And
absolutely
terrific, Kieran. Again, Dr. Kieran Grant, friends. Originally from, born in Armagh, brought up in Castleroach, Dundalk, and chiropractor here in New York City, and the co-chair, Orla Maguire, from Monaghan, from Clonus County, Monaghan, and founder of, again, the acclaimed Lash Star Beauty. You have your work cut out for you, and again, it's without a doubt the, and it will be, the singular spotlight, you know, of the St. Patrick's Day and New York, tied in, of course, with the parade and great number of people who don't get to New York except for St. Patrick's Day. Thanks, Kieran.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much to your listeners for hopefully being able to join us on St. Patrick's Day at Carnegie Hall. So thank you again for everything. We really appreciate it. And we wish everybody a very happy St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day season. Thanks again.
Thank you. Okay. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.